why not go ahead and recite the Holy Quran? You know, I would like to say as much as we can. I will stick to that statement, as much as we can. There's only a few nights left. Now, this doesn't mean that we recite the, you know, as much as we can, and then, you know, after the holy month of Ramadan, we just don't even want to look at the Holy Quran anymore. This is why I'm saying as much as you can, as much as your capability, you know, and as much as it is enjoyable. The last thing that you want to do is force yourself to read, you know, the Holy Quran, even though you should force yourself to read at least one verse of the Holy Quran with its translation and kind of think about it and ponder over it. At least one. That you should force yourself, you know. And what's the beauty of the Holy Quran is that you will see, once you start to read the Holy Quran and you start to read the translation and kind of think over it, automatically you will start to want to read more and more.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
Amid a surge in torture cases by the Zionist regime forces against Palestinians since October 7, 2023, there is an urgent need for health professionals to properly document such atrocities. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, torture remains a pervasive reality in Palestine, where countless individuals have endured unspeakable physical and psychological trauma at the hands of the Zionist regime forces. This has been an especially serious problem since the Gaza war began on October 7, 2023, with Palestinians telling Middle East Eye that they have been physically tortured with dogs and electricity, subjected to mock executions, and held in humiliating and degrading conditions. One man described how he was handcuffed, blindfolded, abducted, and detained in a metal cage for 42 days. Addressing such grave human rights violations demands a comprehensive approach, including the development of specialized skills for healthcare professionals tasked with documenting and treating survivors. Trained in the Istanbul Protocol for Torture Documentation, an expert has dedicated himself to equipping fellow professionals with the necessary tools to navigate this challenging terrain. as violence continues to escalate, with torture not restricted to detention centers, but also witnessed in the streets of the occupied Palestinian territories and captured on video, it is more comprehensive than ever to bolster health workers' capacities to document such incidents, thus amplifying the voices of survivors in their pursuit of justice. Palestinians have been systematically oppressed for decades, with more than 800,000 arrested since 1967. Inside Zionist regime detention centers, many have faced brutal physical and psychological abuse that meets the stringent criteria for torture set forth by the United Nations. Key elements of torture include the international infliction of severe mental or physical suffering for a specific purpose, with the involvement of someone acting in an official capacity. The surge in cases since October 7th serves as a stark reminder of the urgent need to document these atrocities and hold perpetrators accountable before the international community. The torture tactics employed by the Zionist regime forces against the Palestinians are as varied as they are barbaric, ranging from crude physical beatings to sophisticated no-touch techniques imported from global interrogation practices. The fabricated regime of Israel has also exported specific torture methods, such as the Palestinian chair stress position. In addition to inflicting excruciating pain through tactics such as suspension and simulated drowning, Israeli regime forces have employed psychological warfare, exploiting cultural sensitivities and individual vulnerabilities to amplify the suffering of their victims. Sleep deprivation is an essential part of psychological torture. Reports of sexual abuse, including rape and forced nudity, underscored the depravity to which detainees are subjected. The insidious combination of physical and psychological torture serves not only to punish, but also to extract coerced confessions. Such practices scar and traumatize survivors and their families, while intimidating the broader Palestinian community. Central to the efficacy of torture is its capacity to shatter the psychological resilience of victims, reducing them to a state of helplessness and dependency. Through systematic degradation and manipulation, interrogators erode the victim's sense of self, replacing it with a pathological identification with their abuser. This insidious dynamic distorts the victim's perception of reality and undermines their ability to articulate their ordeal coherently. Long after the physical wounds have healed, survivors grapple with myriad psychological consequences, including traumatic stress disorder, depression, and a profound distrust of others. These enduring psychological scars pose serious challenges to the documentation process as survivors navigate an inner labyrinth of trauma-induced memory deficits, confusion, and emotional distress. They might have difficulty recalling and recounting their experiences. Memory deficits coupled with pervasive fear and distrust often impede their willingness to engage in the documentation process. The very act of revisiting traumatic memories can trigger intense emotional distress or avoidance behavior, further complicating efforts to elicit coherent narratives. As healthcare professionals, The experts must remain attuned to these challenges, employing trauma-informed approaches that prioritize survivors' autonomy and well-being, while seeking to uphold their right to truth and justice. In the face of such abhorrent human rights violations, the Istanbul Protocol offers a standardized framework for documenting torture that is grounded in compassion and human dignity. By equipping healthcare professionals with the necessary skills and resources, they can empower torture survivors to reclaim agency over their narratives, amplifying their voices in the pursuit of accountability and redress. As they strive to combat torture and uphold the rights of the victims, they should stand in solidarity with survivors, bearing witness to their pain and advocating tirelessly for a future free from oppression and impunity.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Almighty Allah, you are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
We're waiting for you to be my son.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Last Savior. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom and Islamic researcher, Brother Alavian. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, Brother Alavian, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the relation between the concept of Mahdawiyah and the holy month of Ramadan. So, we know that Laylatul Qadr during the holy month of Ramadan has a special significance for Muslims all around the world. And according to some exegesis of the Holy Quran in Surah Qadr, we are talking about the pouring down the blessings of Allah and the angels on earth because of the presence of the Hujjah of Allah on earth, that is Imam al-As, isn't it?
Definitely.
So, how do you think that the holy month of Ramadan can be linked into the concept of Mahdawiyah or Mahdism?
The holy month of Ramadan, in its Arabic term, is called Shahrun Mubarak, that is the blessed month. Blessed or Mubarak means plenty of goodness, plentiness of goodness. Like in that holy month, while we are breathing, our breathing is known as tasbih, that is ibadah. It's a kind of worship. Our sleeping in this month is known as ibadah, an act of worship again. Or the du'as and supplications are answered. And recitation of Quran is very important. And one single verse of Quran equals one khatam, or one complete recitation of the Holy Quran.
Yes.
And many, many, many other barakat or blessings have been mentioned in the language of narrations for this holy month. And more important, it is the holy month that in which the Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet. So who is the host of this month? The host of this holy month is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the Imam of the time who is hosting different people. So why Imam is hosting? So what we want to look at different dimensions of this whole existence with the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Look, we said that in our previous sessions that Imam is going to bring a utopia, an ideal situation for the human being in which everything is in its perfect manner.
Yes.
Everything is in perfect way.
That's
presented
right.
to the people. The people are reaching out. The people are healthy. The people have no problem in their material life. We recite it after every prayer, every salat in the holy month of Ramadan, starting with Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur as-surur. Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. So when is it going to happen? When is the example of materialization and manifestation of this du'a? So definitely it is the time that Imam has already reappeared, and the government of Imam and the justice has been spread by just government of Imam.
Yes.
So it means that these supplications, these prayers that are being recited in a daily basis, five times a day, after every prayer. Mm-hmm. So they are going to be seen, and their materialization and manifestation can be seen at the time of reappearance of Imam Ali, Advent of Imam. So I want to say that at the time of Ghaiba and occultation of Imam, we just recite, oh Allah, do this and do that. Allahumma aghni kull faqir. Allahumma ashba kull jah. Allahumma kisa kull uryan. Allahumma aghdadayna kull madin. Those who are problem financially, Allah assist them and help them.
Yes.
So when will it be answered? When all these du'as are answered? We said that du'as are answered in the whole month of Ramadan. So when these du'as are answered, Imam inshallah will reappear. Mm-hmm. I mean, the answer of these du'as is the reappearance of Imam alayhi salam.
Yes.
So we want to say that these du'as are very related to the Imam alayhi salam. The next du'a that is very famous in the whole month of Ramadan, and even this du'a itself was narrated through Imam alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is the du'a al-iftitah.
That's right.
The du'a al-iftitah, in this du'a, the people, the Muslims, the believers, usually pray for the reappearance of Imam alayhi salam, and they actually, they complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are in problem, we are in difficulty, help us with the arrival and with advent of Imam alayhi salam, and make this opening for us. And we see again, there is a relationship between this dua and the host of this month, that yes. is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who is hosting bi-idhnillah, by Allah's permission, hosting his servants in this month. And he himself tells us what to recite and what to say. Okay. I mean, this is, again, I want to emphasize that this dua is from the Nahil al-Muqaddas, this is from Imam himself.
Let's take a break and then we'll continue our discussion.
من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شع ضيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه.
Welcome back, dear listeners of Arab English Radio, Call of Islam page. You're listening to the program, The Last Savior. I'm Atal, the host of this program. All right, Brother Alevian, during the holy months of Ramadan and Imam asks how these two are related to each other. We have so many supplications and du'as to be recited during the holy month of Ramadan, which address Imam asks directly. Okay,
definitely, yes.
So there must be a certain relation between these two, isn't it?
Definitely. We said that in these du'as, we are wishing and we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are hoping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the reappearance of Imam alayhi salam.
Yes.
So it's, as I said earlier, it's very important that this du'a has been taught by Imam himself. I mean, Imam himself taught this du'a to his companions, that if you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the holy month of Ramadan, try to recite this du'a al-iftitah. And the other one, that was the du'a that we recited after every prayer, that is famous with Allahumma adkhil ala qubur as-surur. Again, this is a du'a that the manifestation of its perfect materialization is at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm. So without reciting such du'as and supplications during Ramadan?
Definitely, du'as are recommended actions, brother. There is no obligation in performing or in recitation of the du'as. But I mean
without taking a look, a glance at the topic of Imam As during Ramadan.
Yeah.
Would our fasting be somehow incomplete or not
no.
perfect enough?
Look, but we are trying to find a relation between the whole existence of Imam and the holy month of Ramadan. But it does
yes.
not mean that if a person do not know all what we are discussing here, I mean his Sawm or Siyam, his prayers and his fasting are in vain. No, it doesn't mean
That's
such
right.
a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a duty as a Muslim, that one of the pillars of Islam, is fasting, and we are performing due to the duty that is in our shoulders.
That's right.
So, but having this information is also
fruitful,
beneficial
right.
and fruitful.
Okay.
Yeah. And
shall we get to Laylatul Qadr?
Yeah, we shall get to Laylatul Qadr. But I want to say that this concept of Mahdawiyah and Mahdism, as we said plenty of time in these series of shows, that is something quite common among all the believers on all these Islamic denominations. I mean, there is no discrepancy in this issue, and all of them believe in such a thing. But based on some narrations, the most possible and probable day for the appearance of Imam Ali Islam also is 23rd of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And
according to authentic resources,
yeah, and this day 23 of the holy month of Ramadan usually equals should be equal to a Friday something.
Okay.
And so all the awaiters of Imam Ali Islam also wait for his reappearance in such a day. I mean, or to hear those that heavenly call which is going to reach to the human beings throughout the world through Imam Ali Islam. To reach the whole world in that time. So there is also another connection. But one of the most probable nights of Qadr, nights of power, also is placed in this holy month.
Yes.
And it has been actually referred to in Surah Al-Dukhan and in Surah Al-Qadr.
Yes.
Tanazzal al-Malaikat wa ruh.
Yes.
This Tanazzal, it means Tanazzal al-Malaikat wa ruh, that angels and ruh are coming down on him.
Yes.
So what does it mean? This tanazzal has a meaning of continuation in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is continued every year.
So every year, once upon a time in a year, you know, this
and
is.
I mean, it's not going to be limited to the time of the Holy Prophet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if we say, okay, it was for the time of the Holy Prophet, but this tanazzal said that it is happening every year till the day of judgment.
Action, that's right. Okay.
And again, it is being reinforced in the surah, in the chapter of Dukhan, the same concept is being said there. So who is going who's going to be the holder of this message,
the receiver of
this message by the angels and the ruh that comes to him? What is the mission of these angels and what are they going to do on him?
So sorry, before getting into that, so may at the time of Prophet Muhammad, the main receiver of this ayah,
the Holy Prophet, the proof of Allah
himself, and after him was the imams who succeeded
the Holy Prophet.
Yes. And now is Imam As.
Definitely has to be Imam Al-Asr alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So this connection is very important.
So
you see, it
couldn't be, the people in general?
What do you mean?
I mean the receiver of such a message of this ayah.
So how come that at the time of the Prophet it should be the Prophet, but at the time of...
righteous ones.
No, it is based on the narration. This message goes on only for the proof of Allah and the scene of the Hujjah of Allah. On the scene of the earth, and because he has the capacity to receive this message, I mean, others cannot have this capability and capacity to take the message.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. Mm-mm. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain. It's in the morning clothes, the bright morning.
And the importance of this Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny, of the people is going to be predestined somehow for one whole year, and then... does Imam As have also direct role in this divine predestination of the people on that night or not?
Look,
because some people might say that this is Allah's decision, so how an imam, a person, can somehow have direct role in predestining, for example, such a decisions for the coming year.
Look, there is a concept of tafwid, that is, Allah gives the grant and the responsibility of a series of issues to his creatures on his proof on the earth.
Yes.
That is, Allah gives the sustenance, the risk, to his first, to his top proof, to his top creature, which is the proof of God, that perfect human being.
Yes.
On the earth. Then through him, this destiny is being distributed among others.
That's
you see?
Right.
So I want to say that this is a logical discussion that we have discussed it in our previous sessions, that this is the top creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, the rest have been created for him. For example, as the respected listeners might remember, we said that, for example, if there is a plant, there is an animal to eat that plant. Mm-hmm. And the perfection of this plant is to be eaten by this animal, okay. Right? So this hierarchy can be seen in the whole universe and in the whole creation.
Yes.
So this is the top creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. And to him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gives all the bounties and all the sustenance and all the spiritual and material sustenance, and through him it is going to be distributed and divided on the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. As for the night of Qadr itself, it is quite common among all the Islamic denominations, and there is no discrepancy in this issue as well, and all Muslims believe on the importance of such a night, and there is no doubt on that.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Brother Ali. Very nice elaboration regarding the topic, the relation between Imam Az and the holy month of Ramadan, especially Laylatul Qadr. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Last Savior. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. God bless you all. May Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajalallah.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest glow?
In the limelight.
According to UNICEF, there are 180 births every day in Gaza. These happen without access to any kind of reasonable healthcare facilities. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The electronic intifada wrote, "The birth of a new baby is usually an occasion for joy, but under the current conditions of genocide in Gaza, this is simply no longer true." According to UNICEF, there are 180 births every day in Gaza. These happen without access to any kind of reasonable healthcare facilities. The child killer regime of Israel has destroyed Gaza's health sector, bombing, damaging, or destroying completely 30 out of 36 hospitals. Most recently, besieging Gaza's main hospital, Ashifa, for more than 2 weeks, killing 400 people, including children, doctors, nurses, and patients in the process. There are barely any anesthetics or painkillers, which alongside crutches, maternity kits, and even toys, the Zionist regime prevents from entry to Gaza as part of its punitive aggression against the people there. A new birth engenders considerable pain, stress, and hardship, and is a tremendous strain on mothers and parents, generally when the world around you lies in rubble. Indeed, it is well established that postpartum depression in times of war and conflict, or from other sources of external stress and friction, spikes significantly. According to the medical literature, postpartum depression, PPD, classified as a psychiatric disorder that starts soon after birthing, eliciting neuropsychological and behavioral deficits in mothers and offspring, affects just over 17% of mothers globally. But in wartime, incidences of PPD can double or even triple. And it is not just the stress of conflict. It is also the lack of aftercare, something simply not available in Gaza today. The severity and duration of postpartum depression increases due to inadequate living conditions and the inability to provide basic necessities like clothing, milk formula, and diapers for the newborn. Throughout the ongoing genocide in Gaza, it was clear that many suffered postpartum depression or suffered the symptoms that would make such a depression all but inevitable. Bara lost her husband a month before giving birth. Her only wish after delivering was for him to be here to see him and share this moment with me. Yusra broke down in tears, pleading with her healthcare workers to recite the Azan prayer for her newborn son because both her husband and her father had been killed. Yusra asked, "Can the pediatrician or anyone else recite the call to prayer in my son's ear?" Traditionally, a child's father or grandfather recites the prayer over the newborn. Equally traumatic is the fear of being helpless to care for the baby, a fear exacerbated by the absence of basic necessities like milk and clothing. One woman kept apologizing because the only clothes she had for her newborn son were pink girl's clothes, repurposed from the boy's older sister. Many come to health centers looking for milk or diapers, with little available in the market and prices up tenfold. Under these extreme circumstances, it's highly probable that these women will develop depression. Each mother finds herself incapable of providing for the immediate or future needs of her newborn, placing her in a cycle of despair, anxiety, and powerlessness. During war, several unfavorable socioeconomic factors significantly increase the risk of PPD pathogenesis. These include poverty and lack of social support, exposure to adverse life events such as anxiety arising from the physical and mental strains of childbirth amidst difficult circumstances, and the inability to form efficacious mother-infant bonding. PPD not only affects the mother's health, but also has significant implications for offspring. PPD in mothers is often associated with physical changes in their children, such as weight loss, reduced overall physical and social health, as well as cognitive and emotional problems. Indeed, trauma was already widespread in Gaza before the Zionist regime's latest assault. More than half of all children in Gaza suffered post-traumatic stress disorder, according to a 2020 study, and this mental health crisis is only getting more acute. And the prevalence of PTSD and PPD will not disappear with the end of conflict. The importance of an immediate cessation of violence by the Zionist regime and a huge program of treatment and trauma care cannot be overstated.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 23, 2015 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with government officials on the occasion of the month of Ramadan. Another challenge occurs when someone thinks that if we abandon our ideological principles and the ideological principles of the Islamic Republic, paths will open and closed gates will be unlocked. This is a grave and fundamental mistake. Of course, the brothers in our diligent administration are acting with complete belief in these principles. They really believe in the revolution and its principles and values. We do not blame these brothers, but there are some people among our officials in general who think that if we compromise some of our principles and beliefs, many closed doors will open to us. This is not the case. This is a grave mistake, and we have witnessed the results of this mistake in some other countries, whose names I do not want to mention in the recent years. The path to progress is resistance and insistence on principles.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Another challenge occurs when some individuals think that the people do not endure problems. This is not true. The people have actually endured problems. If problems are explained to the people in the true sense of the word and with complete honesty, our people are a loyal people. They are a people who stand firm and resist. Another challenge is having doubts about domestic capabilities. One of the challenges is that we do not trust our scientists and popular non-governmental groups in economic affairs. They should be trusted. The people should be involved in the great economic chain of the country. The last word in this regard is that one of the tasks that we should carry out in the area of the economy of resistance is to show firm determination. We should be after implementing, in the true sense of the word, the economy of resistance inside the country. Another task that we should do is to avoid laziness. We should avoid adopting a comfort-based outlook, and we should rely on jihadi management.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. save me from all the ways that were wrong. I wanna thank you for bringing me home.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Tempers are running high in Pakistan over Israel's onslaught in Gaza. In a dramatic incident, a KFC restaurant in Pakistan-administered Kashmir was set ablaze during an anti-US-Israel protest. Following the incident, police detained over 50 individuals who were accused of attacking the restaurant in the Mirpur district.
We do not support the burning of KFC, but we want to boycott it as it is in support of genocide. We stand with boycott and we do boycott. We do not want them, we just want them not to fund Israel and help them in their genocide.
The arson comes as US-Israeli genocide in Gaza shows no signs of abating. The regime's attacks on all areas of the besieged territory, including hospitals, schools and aid convoys, continue.
We are already seeing the impact on the economy, on the financial decline of McDonald's and boycott. It's huge. Even in some countries, in Arab countries, those outlets are being closed because nobody is buying it.
Free! Free!
The ongoing genocide in Gaza has fueled anger and frustration among people worldwide, prompting calls for boycotts against entities believed to support Israel financially or politically.
Boycott is something that we are, you know what, this is what we feel from our heart, from inside, that we don't want to support their economy, we don't want to support the companies that are supporting the Israeli soldiers. So, for that, we need to boycott. I know this is not a permanent solution, but we have to boycott.
Authorities are now faced with the challenge of managing the fallout from the incident and preventing further escalation of tensions.
As tempers run high in Pakistan due to the call for boycotting pro-US and pro-Israeli brands, the targeted destruction of a KFC restaurant represents a symbolic reaction of the people, both locally and globally, against US-Israeli genocide in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
Israeli newspaper Maariv published an article saying Turkey is seeking to enhance relations with Israel. Turkish Agency for Combating Disinformation denied the claims in a statement. The agency said the claim in the Israeli media that senior Turkish officials sent a message saying we want to improve relations with Israel is not true. Turkey said its temporary charge d'affaires of Turkish embassy to Tel Aviv was summoned on the 25th of March, and that claims by Israeli media that Ankara proposed that the two countries' ambassadors return mutually is not correct. The thing that forced Ömer Çelik, AK Party spokesperson, to point out Israeli crimes in a statement to assure that his government stands against what Israel is doing.
The dead human bodies and corpses found around the Shifa Hospital in Gaza once again clearly show the genocide committed by Israel. It is necessary to implement the ceasefire decision in the Gaza Strip.
This subject has been considered sensitive for Turkey, especially after the ruling party lost the local election. Many analysts suggested one of the reasons was the AKP government not fully cutting ties with Israel. Many voters left notes on electoral papers such as, "You sold Gaza, we will sell you as well." And "We will not vote for a government that does not cut a trade with Israel."
"I am studying in the UK, but I came back here to cast my vote because I strongly oppose trading with Israel and want it to stop. I actively participate in rallies in the UK and personally boycott companies and products that support Israel. I believe that every penny spent on these entities translates into bullets that target Palestinians. And I am committed to taking action to support their cause.
Overall, trading with other countries is generally acceptable. However, considering the recent aggression on Gaza, Israel has demonstrated a disregard for international laws. Therefore, I believe that trade should be temporarily halted and all ports closed to convey to Israel the gravity of its actions. Israel's persistent aggression, disregard for United Nations resolutions and human rights, and obstructions of aid delivery necessitate a strong response. Turkey provides essential materials to Israel, such as copper, cement, iron, and food. Therefore, if Turkey were to halt trade, Israel might retaliate in kind.
Turkish citizens have been taking to the streets since the beginning of the aggression on Gaza, demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. They have also called on the government to sever all ties with Israel. Analysts say the public want to send messages to the president through rallies and social media campaigns. However, it seems Erdogan is turning a deaf ear to their calls for action. Erdogan, who tried to contain his people with the pro-Palestinians rallies and slogans, now finds himself not only criticized for double standards, but also grappled with losses in local elections. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
The Islamic resistance in Iraq has been standing in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza by carrying out retaliatory operations in the region. Resistance forces in Iraq have started their operations by striking a number of U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria in response to Washington's support for Israel. The operations have now entered a new phase as Israeli positions have been directly targeted in various locations such as Haifa, Eilat, and elsewhere.
We have always been firm in our stance to support the people of Palestine. The Palestinian cause is central to the axis of resistance that has supported the people of Gaza by striking Israeli positions. The regime's positions, whether it's ports in the Mediterranean or elsewhere, are targeted using ballistic missiles, drones, and all other weapons by our brothers in Yemen, Lebanon, and here in Iraq. The operations are clear evidence that the axis of resistance works in harmony and has the strategic potential and the means to pressure Israel and those states that support the systematic killing of innocent civilians.
The intensification of the attacks on Israeli positions shows that the massacres being committed by the regime in Gaza will not remain unanswered. The second phase of the operations, which directly targeted Israeli positions, proves that regional resistance groups are able to inflict serious damage to Israel's maritime and airspace interests. Resistance groups in Iraq and across the region have proved their ability to respond to the Israeli crimes against innocent civilians. They vow that their operations will intensify even more as long as the genocidal war on Gaza continues. Muslim Salem, Baghdad.
Under the title, Flood of the Free, and as part of the activities scheduled to commemorate Al-Quds International Day, the Permanent Committee of Al-Quds International Day organized a political forum this Tuesday at Al-Assad Library in Damascus. The Iranian ambassador said that defending Palestinians is the duty of the free world.
We will continue to defend Palestine because it is a fundamental principle, not a time-bound interest. All free people in the world must support the Palestinian people, as today we witnessed the Zionist entity committing various crimes, from killing innocent people to the recent attack on the embassy building. The response of Islamic Republic of Iran will be proportional to the Zionist assassination crime.
During the ceremony, Syrian and Palestinian researchers and specialists focused on the need to preserve the achievements made in Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. They condemned the Israeli criminal aggression against the Iranian embassy.
We offer our condolences to the Islamic Republic of Iran on the martyrdom of Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi and his comrades who were martyred in the Zionist attack on the Iranian embassy building in Damascus. We affirm Syria's solidarity with Iran, which is facing these attacks due to the hysteria of the defeated entity in its war against the Palestinian people in Gaza.
The researchers considered that Al-Quds International Day should be an opportunity to increase public pressure on the international community to force the Israeli regime to stop its war on Gaza.
The Zionist enemy is trying to send a message that resistance comes at a high cost through the destruction of Gaza, killing and genocide, unaware that our peoples cannot be intimidated. Al-Aqsa flood operation overthrew and buried all the sectarian projects sown by Western colonialism and the Zionist entity.
What makes Al-Quds International Day this year special is the steadfastness of the resistance and the people of Gaza who thwarted the goals of the Israeli enemy.
The symposium concluded that Al-Quds International Day has consolidated the concept of resistance, while Al-Aqsa Flood Operation proved that with strong faith, the oppressed Palestinian people can achieve victory over the Zionist occupation. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has accepted his party's defeat in the local elections. From the headquarters of his Justice and Development Party, also known as the AK ruling party in Ankara, Erdogan appeared with his wife, thanking his supporters for participating in the elections and admitting his loss. Erdogan assured that the results were a turning point for his party and vowed to respect the nation's decision. For his turn, the AKP candidate Murat Kurum expressed his gratitude to his supporters and promised to continue working for Istanbul. Kurum, who was a former environment minister, lost the Istanbul mayoral election for his opponent Ekrem İmamoğlu with a 12% difference.
I will persist in my endeavors for this city. We will be present among the people in the streets following President Erdogan's guidance. Our nation's message are of most importance and we are committed to interpreting and acting on these insights for a better future for our country.
Turkey's opposition Republican People's Party dealt a severe blow to President Erdogan and his party by winning major cities and several provinces in the country. Analysts say this is the result of neglect from the ruling party to the voters' demands in previous elections. Among several issues, the economic crisis and Erdogan's inability to control the lira drop was the main issue for voters. Another one was his double standards on Gaza, which forced many of his supporters to vote for other Islamist parties.
What happened in local elections is punitive voting from the people. We expected the ruling Justice and Development Party to lose in both Istanbul and Ankara. Once again, but this surprising result shows that there is a major setback and that their supporters are trying to send a message. Economy, alliances and parties' performance declined during 22 years are part of it. However, the main issue is that Islamists who are supporting AKP were expecting a different stance from the war on Gaza.
The opposition party did not only win Istanbul, but also seized several districts from AKP that were considered a stronghold of the ruling party. Turkish people believe that a change is needed and that both the ruling party and opposition need to work for the sake of the country and its people.
I think that Recep Tayyip Erdogan deserved it. Why? Because first he did not raise the retirement salaries. Elderly who used to vote for Erdogan for 23 years, yesterday they gave their vote to CHP. Prices are raising every day with same salaries. Economy is worsening. He says we learned our lesson for the past 30 years. Didn't you learn the lesson?
More than 61 million were eligible to vote. Voters' turnout was registered at 76% across 81 provinces. The local elections results are alarming for the ruling party. Many are considering it a chance for opposition parties to unite and start preparing for the 2028 presidential run if they want to oust Erdogan and his party. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Iranians took to the streets of the capital Tehran and gathered at iconic Palestine Square at midnight after the deadly Israeli attack on Iran's embassy in Syria. They chanted death to the Israeli regime and death to America as they waved Palestine flags. The protesters expressed their support for Palestinian people in Gaza as Israel's genocidal war continues unabated.
When we heard what has happened, we couldn't tolerate it, and we came here for the sake of our martyrs. Our Muslim brothers and sisters, Palestinians, Syrians, are all a part of our own nation, and there's no difference between us.
Two of our generals were martyred, so we have gathered here to show our readiness for retaliation. We are asking the Islamic Republic of Iran to take serious action against these atrocities and the disrespect towards our nation and also the innocent Palestinians.
On Monday, Iran's ambassador to Damascus, Hossein Akbari, confirmed that Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi and his deputy Mohammad Hadi Haji Rahimi were killed in the Israeli attack.
It is our duty to come out because we felt that even though the resistance movement is showing patience towards the Israeli regime, we are still witnessing that the regime is pressing ahead with its atrocities, with the recent incident of the attack on the Iranian consulate.
We have gathered here at this hour to show that the innocent martyrs in Syria were killed amid injustice and impunity by the bloody hands of the Zionist regime. The regime has been killing innocent people, especially children, for many years.
The attack came as almost 6 months into the Gaza hostilities, the regime has failed to achieve its objectives of destroying Hamas, despite killing tens of thousands of Palestinians, mostly women and children. The two slain Iranian generals had been comrades of top Iranian anti-terror commander General Qasem Soleimani, who was also assassinated in an attack in January 3, 2020. General Soleimani played a key role in fighting and decimating the Daesh Takfiri terrorist group in the region, particularly in Iraq and Syria. A large number of people have gathered here in Palestine Square to strongly condemn the recent Israeli attack on the Iranian consulate in the capital of Syria, Damascus. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
In a statistic which may amaze and anger those in their 20s and 30s, in 1973, the average French person dedicated just 10% of their income to housing. In places like Lisbon, that figure is now 63%, as the housing situation across Europe is being called the worst it has been in 70 years. With winter prohibitions on evictions ending with the arrival of spring, protests are being held across Europe against the lack of affordable housing.
Houses are made for living in, and not for financial speculation. This is a fundamental truth which has been forgotten by successive French governments. They have turned their back on the many victims of our long-running housing crisis, and across Europe it's the same. What's worse is that they'll have many people evicted by landlords looking to cash out on tourist money for the Summer Olympics.
One out of four French people suffer from a serious housing problem, so it's no surprise that better housing has been a top issue for voters in election after election.
There's a real lack of decent, new, and safe housing in France and Europe, as much of our stock dates from after World War II. The laws requiring that 20% of lodgings be made available to lower-income citizens is not enforced, and we just don't see that the government cares about the incredible difficulty of finding affordable housing here in France.
In Paris, housing prices are up a back-breaking 70% since 2009, the start of the great financial crisis, and the failed response of far-right economic austerity. The hiking of interest rates in 2022 caused some housing markets in Europe to decline slightly, but others continued to rise. That also caused building costs to soar, reducing private construction. Housing groups insist that lodging issues could be fixed nationwide in just 5 to 10 years if the government's laws favored renters and regular citizens instead of landowners and real estate speculators. The primary culprit seems to lie in the refusal of right-wing economics to allow governments to invest tax revenue in building more affordable real estate, and also in the vast sell-offs to private corporations of government housing since the 1980s. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
This year, the holy month of Ramadan in Pakistan has been dedicated to the oppressed people of Gaza, with Pakistanis asserting that they will never forget the plight of Palestinians in war-torn Gaza. Throughout Ramadan, they have continued to raise their voices against Israel's brutalities and the genocidal war on Gaza. This week, activists from Save Gaza campaign organized protest demonstrations in all major cities of the country. They also staged protest sit-ins to condemn what they perceive as Israel's barbarism in Gaza.
Pakistan should move on international fora, United Nations, OIC and other international fora for ceasefire to save Gaza, to save Palestinians, to stop this genocide, number one. Number two, establish a humanitarian assistance corridor. Number three, start proceeding against Israel in international court of justice and international criminal court, and also on the platform of the OIC for their war crimes, for their crime against humanity in Gaza.
While leaving the comfort of their houses behind, individuals